We'll begin by going through the intimations. Most of them are up on the screens, but Dave has given me a few that I have to read out. First of all, there's tea and coffee, as usual, at the close of worship, and everybody's invited to go through to the small hall to enjoy fellowship over tea and coffee. The guild this week, the speaker is a George McGrattan, and George is going to speak about Ardrossan Castle. And then there's another guild intimation. It's prior intimation that's been given to guild members and their family and friends in the congregation to the annual tea and coffee afternoon. And it's in aid of the very worthwhile charity Macmillan Cancer Care. And it's a week on Tuesday at 25th at 1:30 in the church hall. And folk are warmly invited to that. Also, as part of the Our Dear Chance to Thrive, there's the walk together. So people, if you want to get a wee bit fitter, come and join them every Wednesday at 11 a.m. They meet in the church main hall. It's a health walk. Then tonight at 7 p.m. in Kirkgate Church, there's a Songs of Praise being held. Then next Saturday, 22nd, at 9 a.m, there's a prayer breakfast. Dave was saying that they hope to have Sammy Nawali with us to speak about his project in Kenya. Sammy, some of you will remember, was here last year, and he's a friend of the High Kirk, and again, he visited last September. Then intimation, the upcoming shared worship. We're having shared worship this morning in 2 weeks. Today, Sunday the 30th, there's shared worship, and again, it's at 10:30, and it's here in Livingston. And I think that, and lastly, for ourselves, next Sunday, at the Harvest Service, it's the shoebox appeal, and the congregation is asked to donate filled shoeboxes, again, for Blythewood Care in Glasgow. As well as that, Dave has asked me to say that, to give a reminder that this Wednesday, the 19th September, at 7 o'clock in West Kilbride Parish Church, there's a service at which Brian Murray, who was with us for 6 months, will be set apart as a reader. And again, also on Wednesday, this time at 7:30, in Cowinning Old, there's a concert with Drakon Musical Concert Party. Tickets cost £5 and they're payable at the door. Also, he's asked me to intimate that Irish Rowley's funeral is on Friday at 10:45 in Our Dear Church and 11:30 at Hawk Hill Cemetery. Those are all the intimations. It only remains for me to welcome our guest speaker, Douglas Crichton. Douglas is a trainee for the Ministry of Word and Sacrament. He's in his final year. So Douglas, on behalf of both congregations, I'd like to extend a warm welcome to here. We look forward to hearing you preach, and we wish you every blessing in your final year of training. Thank you.
I thought it just happened. We'll now be up standing for the Bible and we'll sing together as we are gathered. Jesus is here. Thank you for the warm welcome this morning. It's great to have a nice drive down the coast when it's not blowing a gale and when it's not bouncing with rain. So it's lovely to be here and to both congregations drawn together in worship. Come near to God, and God will come near to you. Come walk with Christ, and Christ will walk with you. Come, seek the wisdom of God, and the Holy Spirit will draw near to give you understanding. Let us give God all the praise and the glory that he is due, that we came here to give him, as we stand and we sing again our first hymn of praise. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. Let's still our hearts, still our minds as we draw close to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, you have called us all here this morning from the ordinary everyday things of life, from the cooking and the cleaning, from our work, from our television viewing, from our moaning, from our groaning. And you've called us from all different places, from near and from far, from places of happiness and from places that cause us pain and hurt. But this morning you've drawn us all here this morning as one to praise you, to seek you out, and to be in your presence once again. Lord God, you're wonderful. You've made everything that we see around about us. The leaves that have been blown into our gardens overnight by the winds as they've changed colour, marking the change of a season. As we look around, we can't help but think that we are small, that we are insignificant in the comparison to the massive universe that you have created. You change the seasons, and therefore we might turn and ask, what can we possibly change, a small as we are? But through you and by you we are changed. We can be prepared by you to go on and do great things. In you we can be the difference that some people need in their lives. A smile to somebody, a wee chat to somebody else, that's what we can do to brighten up someone else's day. But there's some times where we forget about you, where we think we are great and we don't need you. So this morning we come before you, knowing that without you we are nothing, we are weak, and we need you in our lives. So we say sorry for the times we've left you out, and we ask you once again to be close to us. Thank you for your love despite all of these mistakes. Thank you for the guiding Spirit which leads us and guides us with holy wisdom, so that we can be true disciples, relying on you, not the things of the world, to spread your love to those who need it. So hear us now as we join together in one voice, praying the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to hear a scripture reading from Mark's Gospel this morning. And as we do so, Anne's going to come forward and is going to read it for us this morning. But while we're doing this, I want us to have a wee think about the word wisdom. How do we become wise?
Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, starting to read at verse 27. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, Who do people say I am? They replied, Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, Who do you say I am? Peter answered, You are the Messiah. Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns.
Thank you, Anne, and thanks be to God for that reading from his holy word this morning. But this morning I'm looking for young people, young at heart, young chronologically, either way, it's up to you. What we need to do is we're going to stick post-its on each other. So if I can have some of the young folks, I know you're sitting near the front, but if you can come out to the front, the older people behind you need to see the post-its when we stick them on you. So if I can have some of the volunteers, even wherever you're sitting, to come forward, there's post-its that we're going to label each other with this morning. If you're not wanting to move, it's fine. Stay there. I'll come to you. The question that I asked you to think about was wisdom. What it is to be wise? That's a big question, so I'm going to break it down. Who helps you learn? Can you give me the name or somebody that might help you learn? Teacher. Stick that somewhere on you. They'll see it when you stand. Anybody else? Who else helps us to learn?
Parent or guardian.
Okay, so parents. You can have that one. Who helps us to learn? Anybody, the older folks can shout out as well.
Yeah, mum and dad.
Mum and dad. So mum and dad might help to learn. Yes. Granny, that's a good one. Granny might help you to learn. Right, we're back to... Oh, yours is really obvious. Fabulous.
You said you needed to put it somewhere where it was visible.
It is very visible, yeah. Anybody else that might help us to learn and to be guided in the right direction? How do we become wise? Jesus? Oh, there's always a good answer in church, isn't it? So we might have Jesus. Anybody else? Somebody's full of high hopes today. Sorry, Dave will be back. Right, minister? fabulous. You can wear that one. Who's that? Okay, so siblings, your brother, your sister. If you've got post-its, can you show it to the folks behind you? They've all heard what we've got anyway. Some of them gave us them. But these are some of the people that help us to become wise. But there's something else that we can do to become wise. Hands up if you're perfect. Marvelous. Good answer. How do we get better at doing things?
Practice.
So we can practice to do different things, and when we practice and we maybe do something the wrong way, our parents might turn around and say, keep going, try it again. They encourage us. If you make a mistake, or your brother hurts you, how do they know you've done something wrong? If it's anything like the two children in my house, there's usually a loud squeal followed by a, he hit me. Does that sound it sounds familiar to some of them sitting at the front. The thing is, we can all become wise. And the Bible reading that we had today, one of the people became wise. And he used a special skill that each and every single person here this morning is able to do. What do you think Peter had done in that reading that we heard to allow him to go, Jesus, you're the Messiah? What had allowed him to suddenly have that moment of realization? What had he been doing? Do you think? He had listened. He had listened to what people had said round about. He had watched what Jesus had done. And Jesus was doing fabulous things. And there is one post-it that nobody got. We can all learn from each other. We can all learn from each other. We can all learn that if we were to put the two post-its over those two eyes, we wouldn't be able to see when it's time to go through to the back room for our junior church. If we were to do that, we would all see maybe not the best thing. So we learn from each other. The people that we have in our lives, we can be thankful for because those people have helped us become wise. And to know what the right thing to do is. So as you go through to your junior church activities, you can keep your post-its and pretend that your name is Granny. You can pretend you're the minister for today. And you can pretend that Jesus and your parents can be covering your face as well. But please watch you don't trip. There's a health and safety warning that goes with most things this morning. But we can listen. We can all make mistakes, but as long as the mistakes that we make, we learn from, we can become wise to it. But what we're going to do is we're going to give thanks to God just now for the people that help us to become wise. So let's close our eyes and come before Him once again in prayer. Father God, we can look around and we can see people all around us who are helping us to learn. Our teachers in the schools, our parents, our guardians, our grandparents, our siblings, folks in the church, ministers and elders. There are people that we can trust who are all around us, who lead us and point us in the right direction, and that's towards you. But God, we can turn and look to you because you know who we are, you know what we're thinking, and we need to listen to you and what you want for us. You send those people into our lives to help us become wise and to develop wisdom. So we thank you just now for the people who help teach us and show us your love. Amen. And we're going to sing two songs back to back. And after that, young folks, you don't need to listen to me anymore. You can clear, and that is chronologically, young folks. They're going to head on through to their junior church activities this morning. And we're all going to stand together. The first one that we're going to do is I have decided to follow Jesus because following him helps us to become wise. And the second one is King of Kings, Majesty. And we'll stand as we sing these two songs together. As the young folks are leaving, we continue our worship in the giving of our offering. The offering will now be received. Let us dedicate these offerings and bring before God our prayers for others and his world. Let us pray. Loving and caring God, you provide us with all that we have and all that we need to live as you desire. You accompany us on our journeys, and you're there with us as our companion, as our leader, as our teacher. Accept these offerings brought this morning as a small token of our appreciation for all that you have given us and all that you do for us in our lives. Lord God, your grace is all around us. Wherever we are surrounded by the evidence of your handiwork. From the breaths that we take to the wonder of creation that we can see all around us. But sometimes we forget those around us, the people who are the closest to us. We forget the and one candidate interview who just picks them all at the polls. Peter takes a step forward and gives the gold star answer. You're the Messiah. You are Christ. Hope. There it is, slap bang in the middle of Mark's gospel. There is the proclamation, you are the Christ. All of the amazing deeds up until this point, all of the amazing deeds that we've read about in the first half of Mark's gospel, suddenly make sense. The penny dropping moment, if you like. This answer, however, represents something of a wee bit of a leap of faith. Despite all of the answers of who Jesus was and what people said Jesus was, and specifically, they had missed one thing, and that was the expectations of what the Messiah had to do. So they got the answer, and we heard in our reading this morning, they got it, but they wanted to go and tell everybody just yet, because it wasn't God's time. It wasn't obvious to everyone who had encountered Jesus up until this point. And perhaps if we didn't have the benefit of 2,000 years worth of 2020 hindsight, we too might have stood with Jesus and gone, all right, maybe. But we've got that benefit. We've got this. We've looked at the collated evidence. We've looked at the Gospels. We've reflected on what was prophesied in the Old Testament. We have seen the miracles recorded there in the Gospels. Jesus fed the hungry. He cured the lame. This indicated, of course it was the Messiah. How did they no see it? But they didn't. It took listening. It took a whole lot of skills that we discussed with the children about getting that wisdom. But there were parts of the prophecies that had yet to come to fruition. Peter responded and took that big step forward in faith, beaming and proud, confident he had got the right answer. Because he listened to the teaching, and he'd worked out who the king was. But there was that one small problem. Peter, along with all of the other disciples, hadn't quite worked out how this ordinary preacher, teacher, healer, miracle worker could possibly become enthroned and made king. Because they were thinking of earthly kings. So far, the evidence was all making sense. But there were gaps. Jesus was expected to come, yes, but his arrival and his actions and what he was doing were slightly unexpected so far. And we spoke earlier with the young folks about this whole concept of wisdom, what it is to be wise, how we become wise. And they got it, experiencing from each other, experiencing from those round about them. And I think something that the disciples were incredibly privileged. They obtained wisdom firsthand from Christ himself. From our Lord Jesus Christ, these people were alongside him, gaining wisdom, becoming wise. Finding wisdom isn't like finding something that you've lost. It takes time. It takes more effort. It takes listening. It takes making mistakes. And it takes other people sent to help us. There was an American journalist and columnist who wrote in a newspaper after observing some political debate or another. He wrote, "Wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would have preferred to talk." Wisdom comes from listening when you might have preferred to have spoken and to have talked. Listening to understand, not listening to reply to what someone has said, but listening and understanding. There are many instances in the Gospels where Jesus spoke and the people listened. But it took time for them to understand. And the earliest account of Jesus' teaching where he spoke and people had to listen to understand was when he got lost at 12 years old. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, Mary treasured these things in her heart. She had listened to Jesus saying, "Where did you expect me to be, Mum?" But she treasured that, reflected on it, to begin to understand. How much of what we read, how much of what we hear about the works of Jesus do we treasure in our own hearts? And how often do we go, "Ooh, that's maybe a wee bit too challenging," and we leave it aside for later, because it requires us maybe to do something we're not too keen on doing. So that brings us back to the question, who do you say he is? Gaining wisdom comes from understanding what we've read, what we've heard, what we've experienced, and what we have understood from all of that. And it was the same for Peter. He had heard, he had understood, he had seen, but he had only understood parts of it. Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah. And this understanding comes, as I've already said, slap bang in the middle of the gospel. And it's important to note that, because what comes before that proclamation, "You're the Christ," is the building up to it, the good stuff, the miracles, the exciting stuff. But afterwards, the Gospel of Mark takes the slightly twisted turn, where it's the suffering highlighting the problems that being a Messiah and a disciple of Christ might have and might carry with it. Jesus asked the question as a teaching point, "Who do you say I am?" And he was teaching them to take a stand, to stand out. He was teaching them not to be part of that human crowd. He was preparing them for the troubles that lay ahead. Earlier, I thought that the disciples were incredibly privileged. And yes, I'd stand by that, because they gained wisdom directly from Christ. But their wisdom was the very beginning of the church that we're part of today. And I think that we can base our own answer to that question, "Who do you say I am?" based on their experiences, because they took their experiences, what they had learned, what they had seen, what they had heard, and they applied it. The same journalist reporting on that same said political debate went on and said, "Wise people learn by the experience of others. Ordinary people, it would appear, learn from their own experience. And in the case of today's debate, fools learn by no one's experience." I'm sure we can all identify times where we've been foolish, where we've not learned by anything. There will be times in our lives where we've been ordinary and learned from our own mistakes, but there are times where we will have been wise. Jesus was different. Jesus was controversial and in absolutely no way, shape or form conformed to the societal norms that were expected. And he was teaching his disciples to stand out and to be different. He spoke to people that he shouldn't have spoken to. He spoke out against the law of the land and of the teachings in the synagogues and the temples. He was a faithful person to God's call. He was being faithful to God, not faithful necessarily to the people, but he was faithful and true to God's call to be revolutionary. He was wise because he took the time to have time with God. He was God himself, but he still took time with his Father. And he taught his disciples, and in turn taught us and teaches us, to seek wisdom from the right sources, learning from experience of other folk, learning from our own mistakes. He didn't command people to believe he was king, because his actions, they spoke loudly enough. His teaching and the listening of those round about piqued the interest. And he stayed true to God's plan 100%. He was committed, even the hard bits. He surrounded himself with people who were open to listening. He took time to ensure they had time to understand what was being said. And we see that in today's readings. The disciples were genuinely committed to him, and they were part of Jesus' plan. He didn't need a group of folks who just nodded and said, "Yes, yes, yes, boss, that's fine." He didn't ask the question for that gold star answer. He asked it to teach. He went to folks who were teachable. And as the exchange with Peter teaches all of us, we should be able to stand apart, to move away, to distance ourselves from mere human concern. Our focus should only be on God, because that's the wise decision and the wise choice. It's not the easy one, and it's not the foolish one. It's not an ordinary decision. It's the wise decision. And God knows, through having sent Jesus here, the struggles that we're all going to face on a daily basis. He's not looking for us to have the largest Facebook friends list, the greatest number of followers on Twitter. He wants us to follow him. He wants us to be secure in the paths that we are on. Why? Because he's given us the invitation to be on those paths and to be secure. And he gives us the promise that he'll be with us. Not a promise that everything's going to be hunky-dory in a garden of roses. But what he does is he offers us that opportunity to get alongside him, and he will walk alongside all of us. If Jesus was to come in that door just now and walk down the aisle and stand where I am and ask you the question, who do you say I am? Who am I to you? What's your answer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you sent us your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us love, who taught us forgiveness by being love and by being forgiveness. He came to be our Saviour. He came to bridge the gap between you and us, to give us an assurance of eternal life when we make the correct decisions to follow you. And as we consider this morning how we might respond truthfully to the question, who do you say I am? We seek your voice just now, Lord God. We're ready to listen. We're ready to understand and to become wise by the power of your Holy Spirit. These things we pray in the name of our teacher and Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is one which could be sung as a prayer seeking God's guidance, a prayer seeking God's wisdom on our lives. We're going to stand and sing our closing praise, "Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart." Leave this place in the power of God. filled with his wisdom, knowing and trusting in his everlasting promises. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, those we love as well as those we struggle to love, today and always. Amen.